The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with our college football insider, Coach Gary Barnett. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Stephen. What's going on in Kansas City?
Let me tell you something, Coach. These kickers can drive you crazy if you let them. I can tell you that right now.
Can't live with them, can't live without them.
Oh, right now I can't live with them after what I saw this weekend. But so there's... Look, I'm not running from it. I'm running to it because, you know, it's funny, and I hope you take this as a compliment. Watching that Missouri game with my wife, and she's, you know, she's trying to keep my emotions in check. But I'm telling her as I'm watching this, as all these things happen, you know, that prevented Missouri from winning, I go, I've never seen all these things happen before in a game, even as a Missouri fan. Because I've seen a lot as a Missouri fan. I mean, hell, you were there. You were part of the fifth down game. We've seen it all. But you know, watching them, you know, come up with this big fourth down stop, and then finally hitting on a big pass play, you know, and get inside the 5 yard line, and then Drinkwitz decides, okay, I'm going to lean on my kicker who's one of the best in the nation. And people are mad that he didn't try to score a touchdown. And I, you know what, I get it. I'll hear both sides of the argument. But then Mevis, a 26-yard field goal to win it, he misses it. And then you go to the overtime, and Auburn misses a 44-yard field goal. But, of course, Mizzou's offside, so they kick it again, and they make it. And then Mizzou, you got Nate Pete running into the end zone for the win, and he reaches out and drops the effing football before it crosses the plane, and they lose. And I'm like, what in the hell did I just see? Coach, can you try to put that into words for me from the perspective as a coach? Because it's crazy for a Mizzou fan to say, I've never seen anything like that before, but I've never seen anything like that before, Coach.
I know. I think there is a bit of a curse there. There has to be. I mean, between the Nebraska play where the kid kicks the ball and it becomes a touchdown to the fifth down to what I saw and you saw on Saturday, I'm telling you, I'm starting to believe in it a little bit because I don't know that I've ever seen something like that. All those things occur in one game.
Right.
And of course, you know, now there'll be something else screwy happen that I said I've never seen before, too, because it's just football. But that was crazy. And really, put yourself in the shoes of that kicker now and Pete this morning. And, I mean, good grief. What a tough experience. And, you know, I can put my – I'm understanding Coach Drinkwitz totally in this deal. So – That was crazy. I mean, that was a, you know, those two teams, you know, it was a war out there. I mean, it wasn't a war of great football, but it was a war. And, you know, Missouri certainly played well enough to win that football game, you know, and, you know, two turnovers. I mean, you know, you always go to third down efficiencies and turnovers and maybe penalties, and you see there's the game. So, that was nuts. You know, and you watch it back and you go, yep, well, you know, guess what? He fumbled the ball and, yep, that field goal was wide and, yep, we were offsides and all that stuff. So what do you do? It's just, I guess you just, everybody else who isn't from Missouri is going, well, that's just the way the ball bounces. And those of us from Missouri are going, really? Again? This keeps going on? And so I don't know what to tell you. It's just, it's crazy. I rewatched it again this morning. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And so there's a couple of questions asked from that. Number one, after the game, and Eli Drinkwitz said, you know, it's heartbreaking, it's devastating for our locker room, for our team, for those players. That was a big game for him as well. But, okay, so he said he would do it all over again in the same situation. He'd kneel on the ball a couple of times, run the clock out down to 3 seconds, and try that field goal. Is that the right answer? If you're in that situation as a coach, do you do that, or do you just punch it into the end zone and force a team that can't move the ball to try to score a touchdown?
It depends on your experiences, Stephen, because I've had just the opposite happen to me, and I know just what Coach Drinkwitz is thinking. And I, first of all, I don't blame him for saying I'd do it all over again. After watching what happened to the Broncos in Week 1 and having the coach come out the day later, said, yeah, I should have gone for it. Well, that nobody excuses that. You know, what do you mean you should have gone? Why didn't you go for it then? You know, if that was the better decision, why didn't you make that decision at the time? So, you know, you can't win in that situation. But I totally get why he did what he did. And I think if I had had an All-American, if I had that kicker, I think I would have done exactly the same thing, because I have run it down there trying to get in when I don't get in, and both times I've had one, an interception, and two, a fumble. So I've had it happen to me twice the other way, and where if I just take a knee and kick a field goal, or just take a knee, period, and kick a field goal, or, you know, even in the game. But I made a different decision both times. So I get it. I don't blame him. I don't blame him either for that one. And, you know, as far as the fumble on the goal line, you know, let me tell you, for years, you never taught that. You would never let that happen as a coach, ever. And then all of a sudden, it became the thing to do. And I don't know where it started, but people started doing it. And for the last 25 years, that's how people play. And as your coach, you go, look, I understand that you want to put it out, but not on, you know, never on a fourth down play. Only on a fourth down, I mean. But that doesn't make any difference. They see it every weekend. That's what gets highlighted on television and talked about. So you can't stop it. And he tried to do it. And, you know, do you blame the kid? Probably not. I don't blame him. So, you know, it's just you got some bad luck there, dude.
Yeah, I mean, nobody feels worse than Nate Peet. He had 20, he had 20 carries for 110 yards. He was half a foot away from being the hero and having a monster day, and that was a hell of a run. He just dropped the football. The other thing that's come out of this game is, and Coach, we've talked about this, and you've been right on about this. So you said you watched the game. How many times do you think RG3 said that, man, they need to get the ball to Luther Burden? Why aren't they getting the ball? He talked more about that than anything else in the game. And so then, of course, you know, Mizzou fans are mad. People are wondering if he's going to get mad. It's become a story that's almost as big as the actual game. Eli Drinkwitz did say yesterday that he was battling an injury. He got hurt in the second quarter, and all he wanted him to do was fair catch punts, and he tried to return a punt because he was trying to help him win, but he was still out there running pass routes, maybe as a decoy. I don't know. But it's starting because he's not getting the touches that Mizzou fans or maybe he wants. And that's all RG3 was talking about the whole game. It's starting to become a distraction.
Yep, it is. And it will be. And then, you know, once it's a distraction to everybody on the outside, and then it's going to become a distraction on the inside, because once you make that move to where you are totally trying to get him the ball, or if you do, and I'm not sure Eli will do that, but once you do, then it becomes an issue on the inside. So, be careful what you wish for and all that, because, you know, Coach Drinkwitz said that's what it was, and you've got to say, well, that's what it was. And, you know, you've got to, you know, we all want to question that decision, but he's the only one that really knows. And so, you know, you hope people will listen to that. You hope they'll buy into it, but they're not going to, especially with TV beats it up like that.
Final question on Mizzou before Nate takes over with Kansas and Kansas State. Look, you want to see how they respond to that devastating loss. You can take away some great things about the defense. But even if they do bounce back and play inspired football, they're playing Georgia. I mean, they could go out there and give their best effort and play a good game and get beat by four touchdowns. That's a spread 28. I mean, what are we even looking for here on Saturday night, Coach?
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell. I mean, it's, you've got to bounce back. That's the business, and that's the game. And you've heard that all your life, and although these guys are young, you know, that's they're going to learn that. They better bounce back, or they're going to get their teeth knocked out. Because George is going to be coming in a little bit upset with the way they played last week. And so, yeah, you're facing another storm, but it's another opportunity. And, you know, as a coach, that's what you look for. You want another opportunity. Give me, don't end this season now. Let me have one more chance. And so, you know, it's also going to be a great opportunity to be, for everybody to watch your team, good or bad. It's going to be there. So you better make the most of it.
All right, now let's have Nate Buchady talk about these red-hot Kansas Jayhawks. Nate Buchady.
Yeah, it's hard to identify with all this, Coach. All my team does is win now. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you're not even showing up for work anymore, it sounds like. You're right. Just hanging out somewhere at the bar waiting for the next game.
That's, you nailed it on that one.
In all seriousness, Coach, this, I mean, every game it's like a new measuring stick for KU, and this past game against Duke, they did something they hadn't done their last two road games. They got out to a lead early, but the one thing that's been consistent is Jalen Daniels puts up numbers every single week so far this season. Now that you've watched him play a few times, how good is he? How good is this team, in your opinion?
Well, Jalen Daniels is as good as it gets. I mean, he really is. And, you know, as long as it doesn't get to his head and he becomes more important than the team, then he's going to remain and continue to be just a playmaker and a guy that, you know, you have to defend. I mean, I don't know how you defend the guy, really. And the combination of the offense he's in and some of the playmakers he's had. I mean, good grief, Skinner makes catches and does things that you're just not supposed to do as well, the receiver. And so, you know, they're really good. I watched that game over again last night, and they're just really good at everything. They're, you know, I think they could get in a tough fight with a team that's that can put up a lot of points. You know, defensively, they're playing just well enough right now, and a little bit better than well enough. But, you know, they're going to probably have to outscore some folks down the road, I think. But they can certainly do that. And, you know, in the offensive scheme and the combination of players that they have, and really unselfish players as I watch them, and you know, where I think they're the most improved is up front on both sides of the ball, and when you can play on both sides of the ball up front in the trenches, then you're going to always have a chance. And then you get yourself a couple playmakers, and then you're going to put a lot of pressure on teams. And that's what Kansas does to you right now. They put a lot of pressure on you with their offense, and you are in a you're going to have to outscore them down the road, and that's puts a lot of pressure on your offense.
Nate, go ahead.
I'm glad what you said about the way they've improved up front and on offense and defense, because especially on the offensive line, they brought in some guys to add depth and all that, but it's a lot of the same guys that he inherited that looked like a bad offensive line in the past. And I'm curious your opinion. How much can you coach up kids when it comes to the offensive line? Because it seems like that's what's happening at Kansas right now.
Well, the you know, it's never one thing. Somebody wants to say it's the coach. Somebody wants to say it's a transfer you bring in, or et cetera. It's never one thing, and you hear me say that all the time. But it's a combination. It's a combination of those kids are older. Those kids are buying into a system and a coach. Other players are buying in. It's a team buy-in. And when that happens, when the entire team's buying in, if you're the one holdout, you better buy in or you're going to be out of there. So if they want to play, they buy in and they get better, and they all want to get better. And I heard an interview by one of the players that said, what do you like best and what do you like least? He says, well, they're the same thing, accountability. you know, that's what makes a difference more than anything, and it's also the hardest thing to do. And so, you know, this team's bought in. And, you know, you can't turn on that TV and watch them and not feel it. You look at them and go, this is a veteran, good football team that's playing out there. And they like to play the game, and they can't wait to get on the field. So it's fun to watch. And, you know, as a coach, you always want a team that when other people watch you play, they want to be a part of it. And that's what's going to happen here.
All right, Coach. So Kansas had the big win over Duke. Kansas State goes to Oklahoma and wins again in Norman, 41-34. And Adrian Martinez put on a show, 234 yards passing the ball, 148 yards rushing with four touchdowns. K-State does it again. Adrian Martinez answers his critics. What did you think of that big win for the Wildcats in Norman?
Well, we've talked the last 2 weeks, and we talked about he just feels like he's holding something back. And, you know, I've raved about that move since it started, since it happened, and that that in combination with Deuce Vaughn is a dynamite group. Well, it showed last week. I mean, he was absolutely a wonderful player, and it was a great game. You know, it was the numbers are amazingly equal. Other than third down efficiencies, and K-State was they really were a little over 50%, right at 50% on third down efficiency against a good defense. And then penalties hurt Oklahoma as well, but what a great game. You know, you look at that game and go, that's a heck of a football game. That's why we like this game. It's because of that game. And then time of possession, they dominated OU, but it was still, as you know, a close game. So, yeah, Adrian Martinez, if he's here to stay, they're going to be a tough team to deal with. I'll tell you that.
And see, and that's the question. It's you know, look, the answer is it's college football. It's college kids. Anything can happen. But, I mean, you watch K-State and Mizzou, and you think, okay, you know, K-State's got an identity. Their defense is really good. You know, Mizzou wasn't ready for that, so K-State's solid. Then you watch them against, you know, Tulane, like, well, that's not a team that can compete for a Big 12 championship. Then you watch them against Oklahoma, like, oh, that's the K-State that we thought they were. So so you think that the performance against Tulane was the aberration, and this is who K-State is, a team that's going to be a tough out that has a chance to compete in a wide-open Big 12.
Yeah, well, that's what I think, but it was an aberration, but it's a wake-up call more
right.
than anything else. You know, and these aren't necessarily grown men. The mature, you know, mentally mature guys. They're college kids, and so they listen to noise and get bigger than they think they should be, or than they know they should be. But they still think there's times when they can just roll their helmets out and win games, and that has a lot to do with the Tulane loss, I'm sure. But also Tulane's a good football team, really well coached, so don't take anything away from Willie Fritz and that team. But yeah, I think it's a wake-up call. And you look at the Big 12 right now, there isn't a better conference top to bottom than the Big 12, hands down. It's not even close. No other conference is as solid top to bottom. You look at every single team in that Big 12, and any one of those teams can win the Big 12, literally. I don't know that I could ever say that about any conference.
Wow. Nate Buchanan, we got about 5 minutes left. Nate, your final question before we get some picks from Coach Barnett.
Well, yeah, I was just going to lead into these two games then, K-State versus Texas Tech and KU versus Iowa State, because, like you said, every game's going to be a big one, so I just want to hear what he thinks about both of those games.
Well, the Iowa State game's at KU, and the Texas Tech game is at Kansas State. So two big advantages going in. KU's an underdog for some reason. I don't see it. I just think that this team's on fire and at home. I think KU wins this game. I think K-State's got a little tougher edge, but you know what? When things happen to you when you go to Manhattan, Kansas, that you can't predict. And so I think Kansas State wins this game. I know they're favored by 8 points, which is a little bit surprising to me given the way Texas Tech has been playing. But I think both Kansas teams win this weekend, and You know, Nate, you smile for another week.
There we go. How about the best matchup on paper in the Big 12? Who do you like between Oklahoma State and Baylor in Waco?
Boy, is that a good matchup or what? Mm. You know, Baylor, if you throw out that BYU game, they're on fire. It's at Baylor, and, you know, they're giving up the home, you know, they're getting the home field advantage on the spread. I just got to think Oklahoma State may win that game. You know, I'm thinking Oklahoma State's due to really break out in one of these games. And I think that they just might win this one.
All right, Coach. I don't really know what the question is here, even with this game. But Missouri is 28-point underdogs at home to Georgia. I mean, what are you hoping for here if you're a Mizzou fan?
Well, you know, you're just hoping to get to the fourth quarter in a close game, and then as we just saw last week, anything can happen in the fourth quarter or in overtime. So. You know, you just got to battle. You got to survive Brock Bowers. You got to survive how well Stetson Bennett's playing. You got to find a way to move the football, and you've got to get to the fourth quarter and have it be somewhat close. You know, if you do that, then you beat the spread. If you don't, then it could get ugly. But you've got to recover from last week is what you have to do. Eli. Coach Drinkwitz has a tough job this week trying to get those guys to recover from that loss.
How about Kentucky at Ole Miss?
You know, I'm not betting against Kentucky anymore. I mean, they've just proven to me that they're just too solid of a football team and they're too well coached to bet against them. And, you know, I know it's a touchdown difference, but, I'd take Kentucky in the points.
What do you think about Alabama at Arkansas?
Well, that's a – you know, there's a bunch of good games this week if you guys haven't looked. But 17 points, I think that's too many. I think Alabama wins the game, but I think Arkansas stays within 17.
All right. Another game that looks very attractive – on paper that should be an entertaining matchup is number 10 North Carolina State at number 5 Clemson. How about that matchup?
Yeah, I think Clemson's living on the edge, and I think that this is a game North Carolina State can win, or just the opposite. Clemson could lose one, and this might be the one they lose. So I think North Carolina State covers and may win the game.
Okay, finally, just a general question, because we'll learn more as we see Oklahoma State play Baylor and some of these teams play each other. But right now, before we get into the thick of Big 12 action, who do you think is the best team in the Big 12?
Well, you heard what I said, and I gotta I don't know how you pick this one. I really don't. I literally think those teams are so close. Oklahoma. Kansas State, Kansas, Texas Tech, Baylor. Don't throw Texas out of the mix. You know, Iowa State. I don't know who you pick. I really don't. I don't think I could pick a best team right now.
Coach, would you please tell Nate the final game of the year is Kansas at Kansas State. Will you tell him to get his tickets? Because that might be – who knows what they're playing for? Tell him to get up. He's got to plan his trip to Manhattan now and don't wait too long, right?
Nate, what are you doing, man?
Right, that's exactly
you should have
right.
had those bought a year ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get with it.
Get with it. That's right, Coach. Coach, thank
Nobody
you for the time, and we'll get a lot of
Nate.
People do to be honest with you. Coach, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Good being with you.
Nate, will you do what Coach asks, and will you get with it? What if there's a lot riding on that game?
Time,
you won't
man.
Go.
I'm not saying I won't, but
I'm not saying you will either.
Nobody wants me there. Nobody needs me there.
What about your big money guy there you go with?
Wassenberg.
He wants you there.
I don't know if he would invite me. I don't know if he wants me with him. I don't know if he wants that stink on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he wants it. We'll take a break.
I'll ask him.
We'll take a break. We've got your stink on us, so we'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
It's time to find out who's got this. Presented by Mike DePasquale and the law offices of DePasquale Moore.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. In a week where my father asked for Mike DePasquale's direct number, Mike still agrees to come on the show, so apparently that phone call went okay. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm still breathing. I was a little nervous when I got the request, I'm not going to lie.
Well, we'll just leave that as a thank goodness that went well.
Go to silence.
Yeah, but thank you very much for agreeing to talk to him. That's, oh boy. Anyway,
he had a good talk.
Oh, did you?
Great.
Well, that's all that matters. Yeah, he likes you. So he likes
this.
He likes listening on the radio, so he feels like he knows you.
That's what I like to hear.
And I told him, I said, you know what? Whatever it is, Mike's got this. That's all you have to worry about. Now, where are we at on these picks here, Nate? Did you quit keeping track, or do you still have it in your book there, in your memo book, or what do you got?
Yep. We both went 2-2 last week.
All right.
So we both lost on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think we all did.
We both won on Kansas and Kansas State.
Mm.
Actually, no, Mike lost on Kansas because he took Duke, but he took Missouri, and so they covered. So he got a win there. So we both went 2-2.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters. So first, let's talk about the Preps KC Metro matchup. That once again, you'll be sponsoring Mike Harmon and Wyandotte, the school that my mother went to, Wyandotte. So Harmon and Wyandotte, tell us about this.
Well, another opportunity for Harmon to get a W on the board. It's at Wyandotte. So, you know, beautiful stadium, I think I said before, but that high school is like out of central casting. That's how good looking that place is. Great field. So let's get out there and support them, right? Like that's what... You know, that's what it's all about. If you're in the neighborhood, you live over there, get out and support the kids.
There's
nothing more simple than that.
That's exactly right. And so Harmon and Wyandotte, Metro Metro from DePasquale Moore and Preps KC. All right, let's get into these picks. We'll start off in college. We'll go back to the well. And Kansas and Iowa State, the game is in Lawrence. Coach Gary Barnett is surprised that Iowa State is the favorite. And so we'll see what you guys think. Iowa State favored by 3 going to Kansas. Mike DePasquale.
I'm sticking with my emotional headline. It's worked for 4 games so far, so I'm taking Iowa State.
All right.
I mean, you can't change up with what's working, can you?
You got to keep rolling with it. Nate Bucati, what about you?
I'll keep rolling with Kansas then. They're 4-0 this year, not just in their record, but against the spread as well. I think it opened at 3.5, so the money is going toward KU, but I like KU to win this thing outright. I'll take the Jayhawks.
If you love football, I think this is a very exciting matchup to watch between, I think, 2 excellent coaches. And I think whatever happens here, and maybe I'm wrong because they went out, but whatever happens here will give, I think, Kansas more legitimacy. Like if they were to beat Iowa State, I think that means even more. Even though the road games and everything else, because I like, you know, Matt Campbell, Iowa State's going to come to play. And I think, and you can agree or disagree, Iowa State he's elevated that program where Kansas would like to be, with that consistency where every year you think, okay, Iowa State has a chance to beat anybody and they can contend, right? That's what you want. And so I think that would be significant if they were able to knock off Iowa State. And so we'll see how that matchup plays out. All right, here's another interesting one. K-State went on the road and took it to Oklahoma. Now they come home and they take on a pretty good Texas Tech team who beat Texas in overtime. KSU giving up 8 points, though. 8-point favorites. Nate Bucati, who do you take considering Kansas State is favored by 8?
I'm going to take the Wildcats here. I think that they're going to be buoyed by this performance against Oklahoma. I think that Martinez is going to play with more confidence this time around. I think K-State rolls Texas Tech. Texas Tech's going to have a letdown after that game against Texas as well.
Roll them and bowl them. What do you say, Mike?
I think the same. I mean, hey, I picked K-State last week, and I not only picked them to cover, I picked them to win outright. So I'm on the Wildcats, man. Hey, listen, losing to Tulane, that's a good, well-coached football team. Big deal. Went on the road, spanked Oklahoma. I think they got things heading in the right direction. Good trajectory for the Wildcats. So I got the Wildcats.
No, we move on to the NFL. I'm glad the Chiefs are playing on Sunday night so I can focus my attention on this noon matchup. This is going to be wildly entertaining. Bills at Ravens. Lamar Jackson is, right now, he's the MVP. I know it's 3 weeks in, but he is putting up video game numbers across the board. If you are like me and have him as your fantasy quarterback, you were very pleased. Bills trying to bounce back from a loss. The Ravens are that collapse against Miami away from being 3-0. The Buffalo Bills are favored by 3 going to Baltimore. Mike, we'll give you first crack at this one. Bills or Ravens, Buffalo favored by 3 in Baltimore.
I hate myself for doing this, but I'm going to take the Ravens. I don't know why.
Yeah.
The negative Nancy in me with my own teams.
Yeah, Lamar looks good, though. I mean, that's no...
He does. Yeah. I mean, well-coached, deep at home. Bills are, I mean, really, really decimated on defense. I mean, I think their top three corners are out. Both safeties are out. Not looking good. But last week, the offense was the problem, so who knows? But I'll take the Ravens.
Nate Bucchetti, Buffalo favored by 3 at Baltimore.
I'm finding the NFL to be so much harder to gamble on with my new DraftKings app than I am college. I mean, man, I am very scared about the injuries that Mike just talked about on the Bills' defense. But just to go against Mike, I'm going to take the Bills. That way we have a little difference. So we're not going the same route every way. I'll take the Bills. They're going to win by more than 3.
All right, now we go to Sunday Night Football. We don't even know for sure where this game is going to be played, but right now the Chiefs are 2-point favorites over Tampa as both teams are trying to bounce back from a disappointing loss. All right, Nate, you'll go first. Chiefs at Bucks. Chiefs favored by 2.
I think this game's going to end up in Minnesota, and I think there's going to be a whole bunch of Chiefs fans that go up there for the game. So I'm going to and I think the Chiefs are going to bounce back. I think they're not feeling real good about how sloppy they were across the board, and Andy Reid is not going to take that well. So I expect a great performance from the Chiefs actually coming up. I think they're going to win this game by double digits.
Wow. What do you say, Mike? Chiefs favored by 2 against Tampa.
I'm with Nate. And so if it moves, it's going to move. There's no way it's staying in Tampa. Is it 100% going to Minneapolis, or is that where it might
yet?
They mentioned Minnesota. They mentioned possibly New Orleans because the Saints are playing in London, and so those are the two possibilities that have been mentioned right now.
Yeah, well, either way, I think a lot of distractions on Tampa Bay's and not their players. They've got those guys out of there. But just getting equipment out of there, getting everything out of there, it's going to be tough for them. The people live down there. I feel terrible for those people. My parents live down in Southwest Florida. It's pretty scary stuff. You guys are watching the news, what's going on down there. I don't think this is a passing rainstorm. I think this is a legitimate, catastrophic hurricane event. And I'm praying for all those people. But on the football side of things, I think it's going to be too much of a distraction for the organization as a whole. I think the Chiefs big time, especially after last week's game. That was not our finest hour. I think we can all agree on that.
All right, we've got the picks. They are locked in. And, Mike, if there's someone out there like Steve St. John Sr. that needs your help, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, he's got my private line. We know that,
That's right.
No, but you guys have my private line, too. Go to mikescottthis.com and that's the best way to get a hold of us. Got all the contact info and all that stuff on.
And don't forget about that Metro matchup between Harmon and Wyandotte. Mike, thank you so much for the time, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, gentlemen. Have a great weekend, okay? Thank you.
You do the same thing. That's our man, Mike DePasquale. Mike's got this, and we'll find out how he did against Nate with the picks that they just made coming up next week. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car wreck, remember, Mike's got this.
All right, what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I'll drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf. So just let me introduce myself. My name is...
Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Coming up on the show, we'll talk to Nick Lecky in studio. Former K-State All-American and Super Bowl champ with the New Orleans Saints. Now, I see that you sent me this tweet, and I don't know if this is clickbait, if you're trying to get me to start an argument here. But if you want to play this, we can play this. This came from... This is a tweet from the CBS affiliate in Wichita, where, of course, you can hear us in Wichita. Hello, Wichita. How are you? What's going on? Wichita, let me tell you something. If I was in you right now, I'd be going to the Doodah Diner. I can promise you that. Because when I went to Wichita for my daughter's basketball tournament, I said, where should I eat? And they said, if you can get away for breakfast, go to the Doodah Diner. And I went there for brunch on a Sunday morning, and I lost my mind. I promise you, it was delicious. But anyway, we've got this clip here. What is this? What are you trying to start here? Is this to make Nate mad, or like what are you doing here?
It was just you know what, that was what was trending yesterday.
Okay, so what do you have a setup here for this? It was trending. Is this who? I mean, this is the New York City Mayor Eric Adams, right? He's in a press conference. And he was talking about a recent trip to Puerto Rico and into the Dominican Republic, right?
Yeah.
And that's all I need to say?
Right. And he came back and he was talking about brands. And he says New York's got a brand.
Okay. Yeah, I believe the brand is filth. But let's listen to what New York City Mayor Eric Adams had to say.
New York has a brand. And when people see it, it means something. You know, when we go there, it's not, Kansas doesn't have a brand. You know, when you go there, okay, you're from Kansas. No. Well, you know what? But New York has a brand.
So now we hear, I would like Nate Bucati, a man who was born and reared in Kansas, reared several times in Kansas, by the way. That's the rumors are. A man has been repeatedly reared in Kansas.
More times than I care to remember.
No, it is not, you've lived all over the state. You've lived in the cities. Yeah. You've lived in the country. Is that a correct representation?
Yeah. I've lived in the suburbs.
All
I've
of
lived
it.
In the inner city. I've lived in the country.
You've been on the farm, up in the hayloft. You've done it all. You had a raccoon that lived on your shoulder. You've seen it. You've seen everything. What do you say when you hear basically the mayor of New York City? And I can't think of another word. It seemed that he was mocking the state of Kansas.
Yeah.
Laughing and giggling. And so the first person that will, I'd like to hear what Nate has to say about this. Because if anyone will defend Kansas, it'll be Nate.
Well, look, I kind of feel bad for him and his ignorance.
Wow.
That's how I feel about it. It's an ignorant statement. And a lot of times ignorance is born of arrogance, you know, and there's no doubt that there's an arrogance that comes from being from a place like New York that doesn't typically come from people that are from Kansas. You know, there's a lot of humility from people that come from the Midwest, and that's one of my favorite things about it. I love New York. I love New York City.
New York doesn't love you, apparently.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people in New York that love me.
Mm. Not the mayor.
And I love them back. Well, yeah, I mean, look.
Wait, you know what? Stop right here. Play that again. This is way too much of a soft touch you're giving this. He laughed at you. He was, to me, he's thinking of you.
Yeah.
He's thinking of you in his mind. He's probably a Sporting fan and has seen you, and he's thinking about you when he says it. Play this again. Play that.
New York has a brand. And when people see it, it means something. You know, when we go there, it's not – Kansas doesn't have a brand. <You know? laughs> When you go there, okay, you're from Kansas. No. Well, you know what? But New York has a brand.
Now you respond.
Well, like I said, it's just – it's an ignorant statement, and it's born of arrogance. And so, to me, like, I used to get really offended at things like that. And then I realized that when people say things like that, that's a reflection of them. It's not a reflection on you. Just because he's too arrogant and ignorant to know what Kansas is about or what our brand is or what kind of culture and vibrant communities we have in the state of Kansas doesn't mean he's right. It just means he's arrogant and ignorant. And that's his problem, not mine.
Marco had more venom at the mayor because, should I say what you said to me? We come back for break, and he just looks at me and goes, he looks like RuPaul, which I don't think that's that. That's maybe not even an insult. RuPaul is a beautiful person. I don't know that.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
And I don't. And by the way, I don't think the mayor is RuPaul. I don't think that's.
No, no.
That's not what you're saying.
I was just thinking this guy looks a lot like RuPaul. That's his brand.
That's an outside the box observation. So there you go.
Well, you know, if anything, I think he's the mayor of New York, and I think he represented the people so well because he's very close-minded and thinks New York's the best at everything. So
ooh.
I think he represents New York very well.
There you
in
go.
This case.
That's what Nate's saying.
See, but now you're stooping to his level, Marco.
Yeah, that's what we want.
You know, I don't, because we're better than that.
Are
you know,
we?
I mean, that's the way I look at it. I am. New York's an awesome place.
I'll be honest with you.
It's not perfect. There's all kinds of problems in New York. But Kansas isn't a perfect place either. I got all kinds of problems with Kansas.
Go on.
Kansas is a wonderful place.
Whoa. Stop there. Give me a problem with Kansas. You can gamble to your heart's content now.
There's other things that should be legal in Kansas that aren't.
What do you want?
Yeah, just my opinion. I don't want to get into all the political stuff or any of that stuff, you know, but
boy, would love it.
Look, Kansas doesn't have an ocean. Kansas doesn't have mountains. Kansas isn't perfect. There's things that we don't have that other places have.
I don't want the ocean.
But Kansas is a beautiful place, is a wonderful place, and it has an incredible brand, and it has incredible history, and the food culture and music culture and all these other things that we have going for us in the state of Kansas is really, honestly, I always feel like when people, we know this, when people come to Kansas and Kansas City, they realize, damn, I didn't have any idea how cool this place was. And that's their loss, not ours.
You know what Kansas
has?
You know,
I don't need to run around begging people to respect us or care about us. If you're so ignorant and closed-minded that you don't have any respect for us, that's your loss, not ours.
He laughed at you.
Yeah, But that's a reflection of him, not of us.
Do you know what Kansas does have?
A bunch of national championships in basketball.
DraftKings Sportsbook. That's what I'll say. All right, and gamble whenever you want. Let's take a break now. Back after this on WHB.